15, verse 14. Read that text again. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. So I guess I want to say first for the thankfulness that I have for the truth of this text that does exist among us. It's a culture that's different than any I have experienced in not 50 years of a saved man's church life, but in 50 years of church life, I didn't see much admonishment that went on. And so I'm thankful for the understanding that we have been given thus far, but I'm also eager for, I think, more understanding and listening to confessions, more willingness to be obedient when we see one who needs to be admonished. So that's kind of all I have to say about that. Where are your minds around what has been taught and given to us today? What are you thinking? What are your questions about? Agree with the text, disagree with the text. I agree with it, but then it means what?
Full of goodness.
Mr. Johnson, Asher.
Asher, Mr. Johnson. Donnie, hold your hand up there, please.
So when I consider the text, according to some of the confessions that I've made tonight, I too truly want to be rebuked and admonished. And, you know, as I gave confession tonight, I look forward to all my brothers and sisters in Christ coming up to me and following up with how I'm doing in those areas that I confess. And it's only by the grace of God that I receive that humbly and with the right heart, and all praise and glory be to God. So I was very affirmed with that.
We've had some confessions, but did anybody not see yourself in the sermon, in the scripture today, in the sermon today? Anybody not see yourself? Everybody see yourself in that? And what I'm interested in is if there's any convictions empowered by the Holy Spirit that have already led to life change because there's been repentance and that you've turned from already, even though it just happened this morning, versus, and maybe there's some confessions of, hey, I get it. I agree with it. I see it. And I'm going to do better. But it feels powerless. Anybody empowered? Anybody can make a declaration? Make a bold, proud statement in the Lord about what's going to be different in your life because of the sermon today? Mrs. Jax? It should be on.
Can you hear
though.
Me?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yes, I feel definitely that God did something in me. Although, I feel like it was leading up, because you and I have talked about some of these things you know, I feel like this is where God is leading me, and it just kind of came to a point where, okay, it's time, you know, no longer. Just in the regards of how I hear, you know, admonishment. But that I've been working on with God for a long time. But more in the giving admonishment is where I feel that I'm very weak and I don't do. And hearing, you know, the first three scripture, Acts, Colossians, and 1 Thessalonians, you know, how that constantly was warn, you know. We're supposed to warn one another because of their souls, you know. That's why somebody should be coming to me to warn me, you know. At least I become disqualified.
So for instance, you know, if Tamara is irreverent to Jeff and you witness it, she needs to be warned. And, you know, it's not a matter of opinion like, ooh, you know, I would never talk that way to my husband. Or, you know, like Brenda kind of gave testimony. Here's my life experience that says you don't do certain things. We've got to discern and see sin. If it's sin, it's sin. And, you know, Tamara's given plenty of confessions in front of this congregation about her irreverence towards Jeff. You're not making it up when you see it. It's there. She's confessed it. You're not putting something on her she hasn't seen herself. So when you see it, you warn her. Emily's given testimony of being defensive and blame shifting. So when you see it, you need to warn her. You're not putting something on her. You're not making it up. So if you come to me and say, Pastor, you know, you really ought to give up your alcohol. Well, first of all, I'm not going to get defensive or blame shifting. I'm going to tell you, I don't have any alcohol. I don't use alcohol. Tell me what you mean. So you'd be putting something on me that isn't real. You know, Cal's given testimony of impatience with his wife, with not understanding her. So I wouldn't be putting that on him when I witness it. And I would say, Cal, you know, that interaction you had wasn't very understanding. Kevin's given testimony to a resistance or not wanting to lead his family for fear of reaction. You're not putting it on him if you see it.
So here's my conviction. It's not really conviction because I hadn't refused to address this issue in my life. It just hadn't come to dealing with it yet. Now, it's real short, so I'm going to read the email that I got from my sister this week. Just thought I should send you an email to let you know that Mom is struggling with depression. Dad called me on Tuesday morning and asked if I could come over because Mom wasn't doing well. Dad and I took Mom to the doctor. She's on medication now, and she's also consented to go to a counselor. The hospital has counselors that come from Creative Living. They are both Christian, so she's planning to see them. It'll take some time for the meds to help Mom. She admitted she's been struggling with all fall and feels so bad about her brother's situation and says it reminds her so much of her father. She needs our prayers. So, you know, I've dealt with some spiritual issues. So there's so much right in there that, one, I need to address the reality of this being a spiritual issue with my siblings. And then for me, there's this, to go and address a spiritual issue of my mother. I've been there and done that, and I know how it goes, and it's just not a whole lot of fun. So, but this person's older than Duncan, my mother is, you know, so you can...
That's old.
That's old. But just, my mind was just filled with the, you know, I just need to speak the truth in this situation and not back away from anything because of me already knowing how it's going to be received, me already knowing what my siblings are going to think of me making depression to be a spiritual issue, not one that needs to be medicated.
Here's my take on this email. Just thought I should send you an email to let you know that Mom is struggling with sin. Dad called me on Tuesday morning and asked I'd come over since I don't work much because I'm lazy. I guess I was more available. I mean, I don't know why you don't. That was kind of a joke. Kind of. I don't know. But because Mom wasn't doing so well in her sin. Dad and I took Mom to the doctor, which was an error. Because we didn't deal with it as a spiritual issue, we wanted to medicate her. So we got her some hope. We got her some hope in the form of a pill. She also consented to get some worldly counseling that could make her feel better about herself or her life instead of addressing the sin in her life. The hospital has counselors that come to the hospital from Creative Living, a ministry that most likely isn't under the authority of any local assembly. They are both self-professing Christians, but will bring much of Freud and Jung with them when they come, and not much scripture. Dad called again this morning to tell me Mom is not doing so well. She continues in her sin of discontent. It will take time for the hope to kick in. It'll take time for that to infiltrate her mind and to change the way she thinks so that she can suppress her sin and have a false sense of security. Mom admitted she's been struggling all fall. Mom admitted she's been struggling with her sin her whole life, but in particular the last couple, 3 months. And she feels so bad about John's situation, which I don't know what that is, but she has no hope in John's situation, because her hope is in that John's situation changes. Her hope is not in Christ for her or John. It says it reminds her so much of Grandpa. So, Mom needs prayers that she would turn from her sin, and all of you should do your best to call her to repentance for her sin and help her to see this is not a medical issue, this is a spiritual issue. Yours truly, Pastor. Now, who thinks that the way I just paraphrased that email is unloving and unwise and unfair? Given I don't know them at all. I really don't know the people involved much at all. Was that unfair? Judgmental, self-righteous, whatever else you might want to put on that? It's okay if you think it was. I'd be happy to hear it. Tammy?
I don't think it was any of those things. I think a tad flippant. And I think that comes across as uncaring. As somebody who can fall into depression, but not, I don't believe it's necessarily sinful, but I do believe it's a spiritual issue. Now, if it's been since fall, okay, now we've got some other issues, obviously. But I think just the flippancy of it, it's kind of like, if it is sin, it is a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
So I think that's why it can come across that way.
Good, and I want you to know, my attempt wasn't to be flippant. My attempt was to be direct and confrontational in a loving manner because that email is so full of lies. So I can appreciate what you're saying. Who else? Do we believe... And again, it's okay if you don't, because maybe I'm wrong. I'm willing to be wrong. That issues are either medical, I'm going to call them medical, which are really spiritual because of sin, but that's okay. They're medical or they're spiritual. They're one or the other. There is no such thing as emotional sicknesses. I made statements like ADD is spiritual. RAD is spiritual. Depression is spiritual. Mr. Fitzpatrick will go after my father. Asher, Mr. Fitzpatrick. Homosexuality is spiritual. Gambling is spiritual. Alcoholism is spiritual. Okay, Bob, you were going to respond to that, and then I'll go to Dad because he's not responding to that.
So as I listen to you read that or talk, however you paraphrase that in your response, my mind went to how we address biblical issues to believers and non-believers, and what, as Proverbs would say, if we address spiritual issues to non-believers, it's like casting our pearls before swine.
Yep, that's in James.
So, knowing Matthew. The spiritual condition, a believer or a non-believer, I guess I'm not sure that would be the correct response.
Okay, remember, mom claims Christ, dad claims Christ, brothers and sisters all claim Christ, so they are professing Christianity, and our job is to speak into that, into a Christian's life, unless and until we discern that's not the case.
Okay, I guess... So I have a friend who's battling depression, and I really, it's a burden on my heart to go and talk to him because I believe he's living in a sinful place, being isolated and...
But not a believer, probably, or not
no,
even...
No, he claims to be
a believer.
He does
claim to be a believer. Great.
And but I'm sorry, but I just can't see myself coming in there and reading that back to him in that manner.
Okay. But when you go see this gentleman, so remember, this email wasn't written by mom. It was written by sister looking for help for mom, identifying the problem. So when you go see your friend, Bob, I would encourage you to go and show him hope. Help him to see that depression is a spiritual issue.
Yep, yep.
And that his hope needs to be in Christ.
And if he's living in this depression, he's denying that hope that he has in Christ.
Right, he's living in sin. Because here's the thing, depression is just a word we've put on something. Okay, RAD is a word we put on something. ADD is a word. Look, depression, what comes from depression? Well, discontentment, isolation, no joy. All things that Christians have by definition. And denying the power of Christ is saying I'm living in depression and I can't help it. See, we have to be careful to buy the lie that the patterns of this age, the wisdom of man, has identified these things as sicknesses. Therefore, they're excusable. And I would encourage you to help him to see as gently as you can, or however you need to do that, firmly, gently, it's sin that he's experiencing.
And I agree with that.
Yep. And that's the whole point here is mom's not experiencing depression. Mom's experiencing sin. The consequences of sin. Let's help her see that. Not some pill that's going to give her a false sense of hope in just a little while. Like, I don't know if your friend's on medication. Look, this was a year and a half conversation walking through with Kirsten through her hope that was in medication. We are ongoingly walking through with Chris his hope that's been in medication. He has been medicated since 13, 15, and now he's not been for 6 months, 7 months. And it is like the 4th of July on steroids in his head. And I believe that fully. And he's experiencing the consequences of his sin for the first time because it's been masked all those years. And his hope must be in Christ, not in a pill. And we've got to battle with him, walking through that with him. And I want to walk through with mom and dad too, but we can't have sis telling everybody she needs pills and secular/Christian counseling. That's not the answer. But we fully believe that's the answer. We have been so conditioned to believe that's the answer. And that it's unloving to tell a person that says they're suffering depression, yes, I believe you have these things going on in your mind. I believe that. I'm not arguing you aren't thinking the way you're thinking. I'm telling you it's sinful. And it put a label on it, like alcoholism says, I can't help it, I've got a disease. You're right, you can't help it because you have a sin nature that wants to feed your flesh, and that's how you feed your flesh. And you need Christ. Dad, you had something?
Well, yeah, a long time ago, I think Elder Cal asked what part of that impacted. Certainly the last part of that verse where it says, also be a, to admonish one another. I certainly refrain from taking communion today because my heart was hard against a person, a brother in this congregation, who had not rebuked but asked me to consider something, and I took offense to that, and I didn't lash out, but I certainly was fuming, and until I make rectification with that face to face.
And Dad, what lie are you believing?
That hit me hard today.
Look, I want to be the bad guy today, the bad elder. Any time someone comes to you with admonishment and you respond that way, Duncan, you have got to consider what he's saying. There's truth inside of it. When you get hard-hearted and want to lash out, I'll guarantee you he just brought something that you need to listen and hear and brought you truth. Because think about it. When someone comes to pastor and says, hey, the alcohol in your life, I got nothing for you. I haven't drank in forever many years. Doesn't upset me at all that you, I agree with you. I got to get rid of the alcohol in my life, and I have, and there's no issue here. And so when there's a reaction, I'll guarantee we have something to deal with. And if you don't have something to deal with, you ought to calmly be able to talk them through why they're in error of what they're thinking.
And I want to know, what lie are you believing when you believe he has no right to come to you? What lie are you believing? Yep, I don't even believe today's passage of Scripture is what you're saying. Today's passage of Scripture says we are to admonish one another. But I, in my arrogance, have decided I disagree with that. You believe, and you are fully believing the lie that he had no right to come to you, even though he's commanded to. And how dare somebody use those such aggressive words of you might want to consider. Do you realize how many people get mad at me for using those words? They really do. And that's really what I want you to do. I really want you to consider what I'm saying. I'm not God. I can't tell you. Yeah, but you're really just saying, no, I really want you to consider. Well, I'm not going to consider. Or, you know, the beautiful one is, and I'm guessing it happened in your conversation, if I know you well enough, which I do. Within 15 seconds, he says consider. You say, okay, I have, and I'm going to keep doing it. Then what you're telling me is you're not going to consider. No, I have considered it. What you're telling me is you're not going to consider it. That's what you're telling me. No. I have considered it. You understand? Look, I just came to you. Have you already considered it? That's pretty quick. I'd ask you to consider for at least 5 minutes. Maybe 5 days. But you notice we will come back if, again, as Elder Cal said, red flag. When someone comes to you and it angers you or irritates you or you feel yourself being defensive, red flag, they are hitting the nail on the head. They're hitting the nail on the head. Not, they're looking at this all wrong. I just got to yell louder to make them understand how wrong they are.
Who's qualified to admonish you? And before, according to this text, it's obvious one another, right? But we put qualifications on who can admonish me. That person hasn't gone through what I've gone through. How can they speak into my situation? He's not as experienced in the scriptures as I. How can I hear from that? This person's not as smart as me, or whatever Mr. Prizer was wanting to speak, but qualifications, not younger than me, Duncan could say, almost anybody. Go ahead, Duncan.
Except Moses, and he's dead.
Did you have something to say?
No, yeah, you weren't finished.
I thought he was wagging the...
He was.
The only qualification they would have, according to the scriptures I read it, is that they're one of the brothers, one of the saints.
Agreed.
That's it.
What qualifications do we lay on people is what I'm making us think about, is, you know, what people do we disqualify because we don't think we can hear from them because...
Oh, I would say other parishioners, other than the elders or the pastor.
Right. Maybe so because like when that. You and I talked about that, Dad, one of the things you said to me is, I'll take it from Elder Nick. I'll take it from you. I'm not taking it from him. He just said, I disagree with the scriptures.
Yeah, and that's why I'm repenting.
I got it. I understand. And I want you to know, Dad's not the only one. Many of you have said those words to me. Well, I'll listen to Brenda, but I'm not listening to... Or, nobody knows what it's like to be single, so I listen to single women. I'm not listening to married women. They got husbands. I didn't say you did. Now, see, the defensiveness might lead me to believe that you think that way. Because I didn't even say your name. There's another single lady directly behind you. I know. She didn't either. I understand. I got it. Yep, I know it. Wasn't me. But the defensiveness would lead me to believe there might be an issue there. So... Consider that. You know what? I will say in the case of each of you, lovingly, you do have certain people that you will listen to and you do have others you won't. So it does hit the mark. Just not maybe married, unmarried, but this absolutely hits the mark.
And then I had a question. Okay. And when you're talking about commendation, I thought you meant condemnation, but it's commendation.
No, commendation.
And Galatians 1:6, he says,
six.
Who's he talking to when he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him?
Yeah, so the commendation was to the church at Rome and the church at Thessalonica. To the church at Galatia, he wasn't really commending them. He gave an introduction of who he is, talked about God and Jesus Christ, and then he went right into rebuking them.
Oh, okay.
But that was the church at Galatia.
John.
So, before I came here, maybe about 6.5 years ago, I was in kind of a bad place. In hindsight, I look back on it, I was really morbidly self-focused. And so I was asking myself how I felt all the time and was giving myself the wrong answer instead of telling myself how I felt. But I went into the Yellow Pages and I found a, quote, Christian counselor. And I went to her for...
Who's been to a Christian counselor since you've been saved?
I went to her for maybe 6 or 7 sessions. I went to her up to the point where she suggested we try hypnosis. And I said, I'm out of here then. But I look back on that now. This woman had a degree on the wall. It said Christian counseling. Never once... Did she ever open a Bible? In fact, I didn't even see a Bible in her office. She never, ever spoke anything.
The only time the Bible got brought into the meetings that Emily and I went to with our Christian counselor was when I brought them up.
So I'm thinking to myself right now, the people that I've been admonished the most by in this congregation, the elders, Donnie, Kevin, Roy, Tyler, almost invariably, the first sentence out of their mouth when they admonish me is a verse of Scripture. And I'm thinking how fortunate I am to be surrounded by people like that. And
by the way, just to have some compassion and understanding, I said it today, but most people don't go... I mean, one of the things about that email, I'm confident... Apparently, I guess, that the elders aren't involved in her situation. The church isn't involved in her situation. biological family has been elevated in that situation, which we know to be true in the Bulkema clan, because again, that's all the inbreeding of the Dutch Reformed. You can't get outside of them. But the church and their local assembly, you know, it ought not even be Cal that goes to do that. But it might need to be. You know, Bob, your friend, whatever church he goes to, if he's a confessing Christian, you know, have some compassion and understanding. They aren't getting this. They don't know. You didn't know any better. I need to go to a Christian counselor. Look, the church heritage, they had a Christian counselor they sent you to. For a while, her office was right there on campus. Not a pastor, but a Christian counselor who didn't open her Bible much. But that's where they sent you. And I'm righteously angry about that. But by God's grace, we won't be that. We will get our counseling from inside of these walls, from these people in these chairs.
It's probably about time to be done.
Anybody else have anything? We have three people.
Few, yeah, that's fine.
Lovey, I got you.
I really don't know what to say, but you're talking about, because that is what happened.